I said, well, it's a place where you can go and just talk with no judgment, no judgment. And you know, one of them said, oh, like here. I said, exactly. I learned from them to not talk down to them, but bring them up and let's have an eye level conversation.
Welcome to The Art of Fatherhood, a podcast that takes you on the journey of fatherhood. Now here's your host, Art Eddy.
What's going on, everyone? Art Eddy here for another edition of the Art of Fatherhood show, and I'm very happy to have the one and only Super Bowl champ, Leroy Butler. Thanks for taking the time to chat with me, sir. How you doing?
Glad to be here. I know we've been trying for a while, so I'm glad it worked out.
You're a busy guy, so I really appreciate you taking the time, especially around the holidays. I appreciate it. Love your shirt, Take the Leap. Obviously, you're the inventor of the Lambo Leap. We're going to talk about all good things, fatherhood, yeah. Radio show, vodka, all that good stuff. But before we do that, let's talk about fatherhood, sir. When you found out you were going to be a dad, what was going through your mind, sir?
Well, we got to go way back. All right. I remember I was 17. Well, I kind of knew. I mean, you know if you're going to have a kid or not. But at 17, you don't know how it's going to work. So I just remember I was 17 years old, and this is only my second time, like doing stuff.
Yeah.
something I don't know, but she called me. This is like only my second girlfriend. My brother had girlfriends at 14, but I was different. Yeah. I was a late bloomer. And I remember her saying that she was pregnant. I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. And I was just going to Florida State. So I think my mom was thinking my life is over. You won't be able to go to college because you got to take care of this child. And her mom and my mom pretty much said, nope, we know what the dream is. So I was excited because being a young man, you know, and you're thinking, how's this supposed to work? But I'm a very domestic guy, very domestic. Even now, fast forward, and we'll go back to my first baby first.
Okay.
Like even now, I'm in this, my second marriage, and I do all the cooking, cleaning, wash the clothes, fold them, iron them. I do all of that.
My man.
I just tell my wife, keep the kids away from me. Because I got six daughters, which I'll explain, and a son. So, you know, to go back to my first baby, I was excited because I thought maybe to see something that you created and you was a part of, it's pretty exciting. It really is because I always wanted to have a lot of kids and things. I didn't know it was going to start that early. But it was very interesting. It was interesting, especially because I was in college.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I appreciate the history and I appreciate your story and your honesty. I know a lot of dads probably similar situation, maybe not going like having a dream of playing the NFL, but, you know, having a kid early on when they didn't think so. But, you know, I it sounds like you had a great support system around you.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Everything can go as planned. So I love that. And of course, everything that you're doing now, stuff you're doing in the NFL, and I think the maturity of where you and your family and you're supporting people around you when you first find out you're going to be a dad, you had common sense. And you're like, you know, we can work this out. We'll take care of it. So I think common sense, hard work, everything that, you know, you built up to in your NFL career. And then, of course, everything you're doing now, a lot of dedication and hard work. So I know those are the values that you probably are instilling into your kids. But talk about some of the other core values you were looking to instill into them.
That's a great question, because for me, because my dad, and this is probably, I'm from Jacksonville, Florida, the inner city. So it was a lot of African-American fathers weren't there because they didn't get along with the mom for whatever reason. He takes off. The mom has to do everything. Then he has to come back and just try to support the kids. And they get a lot of broken homes. But my mom kept me kind of focused on the values you were talking about. And I remember asking me, how many kids you want to have? I said, I don't really want to put a number on it. But I remember my rookie year, 1990. And I met my first wife. She was at Florida State. She was a majorette. And she was amazing. And I remember her, we talking about kids. So eventually we had three girls. So now I got four. And I've been in the league like 5-6 years, give or take. So I'm thinking, you know, you think everything's going to go perfect. And, you know, and I'm not one of these people to say, well, 50% of marriages end in divorce, but they do. But we're, but the thing about it, Art, we are great friends. We get along fantastic. I mean, it's, we didn't have like some of these celebrity breakups to where they put all your business, and we just sat down and we, matter of fact, we drove to the arbitration thing. We didn't have lawyers. Cause I paid them $50,000 when I could just give it to her. We drove there together. Yeah. Now, this is unprecedented. I mean, we drove there together. We sit down with a young lady, and we already divided up all our assets, but she didn't really have a lot. And I remember her saying, I don't want child support. I don't want spouse support. I don't want any of that, because he's a fantastic father to our girl. So she said, well, why y'all getting divorced? You know, irreconcilable differences. I have no idea what that word means. But she wanted to kind of do her own thing. And then, you know, I think some of her friends were telling her that athletes, when they retire, they do all this stuff. I said, guys going to cheat, they're going to cheat, okay? It ain't got nothing to do with an athlete. It's just what you think. I mean, every
Guy, don't break the stereotype of just because you're an athlete doesn't mean you're going to cheat. Like, it could be anybody, right? Yeah.
It could be anybody. Guys are just bad people sometimes. We can't say it. We just, but I'm being funny, but we get along great. So then I met a Milwaukee young lady. Now, this is different. She already had two kids from a previous marriage. So when people hear your podcast, I'm like, well, I didn't know this about Leroy. Man, I got three baby mamas, and she already had two kids. So it's a very blended family. Because most guys think this only happens to me. That I have, I mean, you can't be Nick Cannon. I mean, well, you could be if you had the money. But I love Nate Cannon because he loves kids. Yeah. If he supports them, it ain't none of my business.
Yeah.
None of those kids will ever want for anything. But when I remember her telling me, she said, I got some bad news. I said, what's that? She said, I have two kids, 2 and 3 years old. I said, well, I got some worse news. I have four kids. So we laughed about it, and then we got together, then eventually we got married. So I met her in 06, something like that. We dated for a while. Then my son. So I had six daughters that are blended.
Yeah.
Then I had my son was my last one. That's Leroy Butler, the fourth.
Nice.
We have together.
Yeah.
You know how they say you're not supposed to say which kid is your favorite? I have a favorite, okay? And it's my son. Full disclosure. So, but it's great to hear that word dad.
Yeah.
And I'm writing a book now. I apologize. Writing a book about the best words to hear. Yes. Approved. And dad, when your kids say dad to you, that's the ultimate protection. And and I'm not knocking the guys that don't have kids. It's just, it's a level that when you come home, cause you say, am I going to do something silly today? Cause my kids will not be happy.
Yep. Yeah.
And that goes into it. Cause now their friends are like say stuff to them. And, but having all girls and sleepovers when I was playing with the Packers, they always picked my house for sleepovers, and the kids would go down in the basement and all they did was laugh. I said, God, give me a son, please. And eventually I had my son. So
a couple of things I want to touch upon. I think the fact that sometimes relationships don't work out, but you guys went together, so go to the divorce, but you guys are friends and you're cool. That is such a great life lesson that you can show your kids, right? You're, you know, not only talking the talk, but you're walking the walk. I'm like, hey, we might not see the eye on this, but we still care about you. We love you. And we want to make sure that we are doing the best we can for you. And I think sometimes kids get lost in the shuffle when there is a divorce, but you are a positive role model for that, being like, hey, didn't work out with us, but we still care about our kids. How can we get this to the next chapter of our lives where our kids are there? And like you said, she was like, he's a great father. So having that and the fact that you're saying like you love hearing the word dad is just amazing. And I think people who might be going through a divorce need to hear like, you might get a divorce, but be there and be a good example for your kids, right?
No question about it. I remember my favorite movie, Ricky Bobby. I'm a big Will Ferrell guy.
Yeah.
I love him. I remember in Ricky Bobby, in Talladega Nights, he said, well, me and mom is going to split up, whatever. He said, the kids go, yay, two Christmases. It's the best. I don't know who wrote that.
Yeah.
But kids are like, okay, they split up. And that's what made me think that stepfathers are amazing. I love stepfathers because you're coming in macho, not to replace the dad, but that's when you use father and dad. That's the difference. Then you use the grandfather or granddad. That's just on the step side. And my wife's two little kids, they're now 17 and 18. Their father was never around.
Yeah.
So they knew I wasn't their biological father, but they looked at me like a father. That's hard.
Yeah.
Because because my wife and my first wife are Facebook friends. Because they don't want the kids to be like, pick a side.
Yeah.
You don't have to pick a side. We're all in this thing together. I mean, and that's why I have no stress when it comes to the kids. And I love being a dad. I really do. And could we all, I am a helicopter dad to my kids in a way. But when they social media came out, and then all of a sudden I say, you know what? I got to move back. I've teached them everything about guys, money, credit score, got their cars, all of that. But I am a helicopter dad to my son, though. Because my son is special because he's special needs. He's autistic. Every morning, Art, he said, Daddy, I love you. Mm. Well, the kids don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, they just say, Daddy, cash at me. I said, don't you want to say you love me? Oh, yeah, oh, I love you, too, after I get that $200 on cash out.
Once that deposit hits, I love you.
But we have so much fun. And in the pandemic, we got closer because all of the kids, I'll give you the breakdown. My oldest is 36. My next one is 26, 25, 21. Those are all in Florida. And then the ones up here, 18, 17, my son is 10.
Okay.
But in the pandemic, it was just
well done, by the way. Well done with the ages. Well done with the ages. Knowing them right away. I love it.
I'm glad you didn't ask me their middle names. No idea. No idea. But we got to know each other because I do all the cooking. They would text me a menu. And this was right in the pandemic. And we made it fun. We have so much fun. I mean, it's a lot of stress outside the house. When the kids come in the house, it's stress-free. They can be themselves. And I can be taking a nap, and one of them yelling, Dad, can we do a TikTok? Yes, come on down. So as a father, I try to be there for my kids, but there's the anxiety of it comes way down. Yeah. It's almost like a partnership. So now I know they won't lie to me.
Yep.
They'll be honest with me and I can help them, but at the same time, try to help them help themselves.
The fact that you guys have that open line of communication and, you know, we're joking about like, oh, a favorite and all this other stuff. And like, they love me when the Cash App pumps. But like, I would say, like, I hate saying like the silver lining in the pandemic. Because still people are having effects from it. But I agree with you, Leroy. Like my family, we were close to begin with. I have a wife and two daughters, but cooking together, I feel like when you cook with them, you talk about certain things while you're cooking, or you might have a fire pit outside and you just like random things come up. The fact that you have this open line of communication and kids can understand if you're being real or fake with them. And if you're being real with them, they will come to you with the hard stuff. So I love that. Talk to me about something that, you know, of course, like you're putting all these values and teaching them about life, but what is something that your kids have taught you about life or yourself that you like to share with me?
They actually taught me to be okay with some of my anxieties because it's two things I have anxiety about. One is elevators. I don't like elevators because I'm claustrophobic. But my second to the oldest daughter said, Dad, it's okay. We can take the stairs. It's no big deal. Like, just, it's okay. Because I'm like, uh-oh. I see elevator. I'm telling Art, it's just because I don't want them to walk the stairs because they don't mind getting on the elevator.
Yeah.
But they taught me, like, it's okay to have anxiety. It's okay. We'll just take the stairs.
Yeah.
Problem solved. And not to mention, I go to therapy, like, every Thursday. Like, today I go to therapy for, like, the last 10, 12 years. And they say it's okay to say it. Because I told them this. They were younger. And they said, what's that? I said, well, it's a place where you can go and just talk with no judgment. No judgment. And, you know, one of them said, oh, like here. I said, exactly.
Oh, that's amazing right there. Oh,
and their friends would come over. Man, you know, I could really talk to your dad. He just sit there and listen. And he just listen. I just need somebody to listen.
Yeah.
And once I know they've listened, because the best self-therapy art is to ignore it. If it's not true, ignore it. But sometimes we get roped into that. I learned that from my kids. Because they said, Dad, that your best quality, you got the best blinders. If it's negative, how can you do that? I said, because if I pay attention to that, now they'll know what gets to me and they'll always do it. And that's why I started that Butler versus bullying.
Yeah. Yep.
Because my kids didn't know I got bullied because I was poverty. Can't change that. I got bullied because of my skin color. Can't change that.
Yep.
My clothes growing up, can't change that. So they say, well, because I talk to them a lot about that. So I learned from them to not talk down to them, but bring them up and let's have an eye level conversation. No filter.
Yep.
I mean, one of my kids, she even said a curse word. She covered her mouth. I said, no, I want exactly what you're thinking.
Yep.
It's okay. I'm from the South anyway. We curse all the time.
But
she
also, too,
from being punishment or something.
But also, too, you would want them to talk, to come to you to talk about some serious stuff and not other people. And the fact that they're friends, I'm like, I want to talk to your dad because he just listens. Yeah. And the power of listening is communication is talking and listening, right? Thing we're doing right now, you and I are having a conversation back and forth. I'm listening to you talk about some great and powerful stories about fatherhood and just your upbringing and all these other things and how your kids got your back and you got your kids back, which I love. But the fact that, like, other friends see that, and like I said, they see the realness and they're like, my friend's dad's cool. He'll listen to me. And then sometimes all you need to do is talk. So I love that. What is a piece of advice you'd offer to new dads, or maybe even a dad hack? Like, when I love dad hacks because, like, there are certain, like, experiences we all have. Like, for me, I always give this one just as an icebreaker. When you go out with your kids and they're, you know, toddlers or babies and they have diapers, you have the diaper bag, diaper book bag, whatever the case may be. When you come back after the kids are all settled, restock that thing because you don't want to go out empty-handed. So that's my dad hack for you. What is a dad hack or a piece of advice you'd like to offer?
Knowing when you travel what to have.
Because
We used to do the Chevy Chase, like, vacation. So I used to ask other dads, what do you pack when you're going to be on a 2-hour trip, 4-hour trip, 5-hour trip? You know, guys think we know everything, so we don't want to ask. So I asked other fathers and grandfathers, and he said, and the best advice I got from a good friend of my grandfather, he said, just ask the kids what they want so you're not reaching back for Capri Suns and you got the wrong. I didn't want that. I wanted a Sprite. Oh, my God. So just, what do y'all want?
Yeah.
And it's always going to be different. But I just have to be organized. I have to be organized or I'm going to get a headache. And my wife just laughed like, oh.
The fact that you pulled out the I'm trying to drive, but my hand's trying to get something, that is so real.
Don't make me come back down. My kids are like, well, come on back. You're driving.
Yeah. I'd like to see that. Go ahead, Dad. Right? In your mind while you're processing this, it's like, they got me. They called my bluff, right? Yeah. It's like, oh, man.
They always set me up. They always set me up. But I just reaching out to other guys to know, like, what they do is amazing. Because each culture is different, each area is different, but I learned that. But you know, it's just a lot of fun. It really is. It's a lot of fun.
No doubt. And the fact that you ask for like, hey, and that's a great way. And that's one of the reasons why I started this podcast, just to bring fathers, you know, to connect fathers and being like, Leroy does this. Art does this. I never thought about that. Well, I don't really like exactly what Art does, but I might take a little piece of what he's doing, right? So it's all good. Big fan of the NFL. And I know you are still too, obviously, with your radio show and everything you're doing with the Packers that you still are involved in. Obviously, the inventor of the Lambeau Leap. But let's first talk about the transition. And again, just talking to you, I know that you have you're level-headed and you think things through. Talk about the transition from Florida State to the NFL with the Packers. Because, like, Florida State is a big college and it's got a big program. Yeah. I'm not saying it's exactly like the NFL, but I think, like, you know, colleges like that kind of prepare people who, like yourself, are talented enough to make it to the NFL, that small percentage. But talk a little about like the transition, maybe like the biggest hurdle for you.
It was tough, Artie. It really was, because I remember real quick, I went to we had the draft and I was a huge Cowboys fan. Huge. I mean, I was a Hall of Fame finalist 2 years ago and I saw Roger Staubach. I thought it was a dream.
Yeah.
I mean, Roger the Dodger was amazing. American team quarterback. But I remember that transition was tough for me when I got drafted. I was hoping I went to the Cowboys. I go to the Packers. I've never been to Wisconsin. So this, I mean, we had maps back then. You didn't know what the weather was. We had like, you know, there was no internet. You couldn't just like ask, you know, Alexa, a Siri, like, what's the weather? They went around. So I didn't know what to expect.
In Hales Corners, it's 49 degrees Fahrenheit with clear skies and sun. Today, you can expect mostly sunny weather.
Alexa, stop.
We didn't have that. Nope. That was perfect.
It was. Because I got both of the girls sitting here. You know their names. I don't want to say
it. Yep.
But they weren't around. That's hilarious. But I didn't know about Wisconsin. I really didn't know nothing about the Packers. I really did it. My uncle was a Bears fan. I had no idea. I mean, I remember him saying, go anywhere but the Packers. I don't like the Packers. I say, dude, I don't choose.
We I don't control it. They drafted me.
I'm like, what are you talking about? So when I got in God's country in Wisconsin, Austin Strubble Field, this one I knew I wanted to be a Packer my whole life. It was 1,000 people on a Tuesday or Wednesday. Got signs up, welcome Leroy Butler. I said, do these people have jobs? I mean, everybody got on green and gold, and the dogs got named after players. And it was a cultural shock to me. But when I got there, Lenny Infante was my coach. It was tough. My first winter, I had a Nissan 300ZX T-top that I had shipped up there in the summer.
Yeah.
The first winter, I'm driving along 41 and it starts to snow. I'm thinking, wow, no big deal. I've never been in the snow.
Yeah.
You know? And I put on brakes or something happened and I spent that and I'm on the side of the bank in the snow. And some guys I've never seen before, never met, pulls over, hooks it up, pulls it up. Gets me out of the snow. Hey, you Leroy Butler, the second round draft pick. I said, yeah. He said, man, you got to get you a 4x4 truck. I took that car, I think a couple of days later, to the Ford dealership and swapped it out and got me a 4x4. Nice. That was a big transition because I'm a Southern guy. I'm coming up north. I don't know. And I'm coming to one of the most historic teams ever. I mean, it was tough. It was tough. And at the time, I was a single guy and, you know, it gets dark at 4 o'clock. I mean, the team's terrible. I mean, and as you pointed out, Florida State, we were very good. So it was rough.
And the fact that things in Florida probably close around 1 or 2, things in Wisconsin probably close at 9, you're like, what? Wait, what?
Yes. I'm just saying that, you know, in Jacksonville, you get up 3 a.m. and go get something to eat. No, not here, no.
You go to a store at like 10 at night, like, something happened? Why is that store shut down? No, this is how we do things here.
It's a little bit different. And I never had like cheese curds. Oh, I know what was a culture shock. What I called a brat.
Oh.
A sausage. No.
But let me ask you this though. Let me ask you this. For someone who grew up in the South, right? And I moved around a lot. I lived in like, you know, New England, Buffalo, near Chicago, and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Now I'm here in Raleigh. And I remember like the first time we made friends, like, oh, why don't you come over? We're gonna do some barbecue. And all right. I had burgers and hot dogs, and they're like, where's everything else? I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, no, you're doing a cookout, right?
That's hilarious, man. That's
because every region is different. So if you say a cookout down south, it's like you're just cooking burgers and dogs.
But yes.
If you're barbecuing, there's got to be a hog on there. There's got to be something on there, right?
I mean, and I remember I was a rookie. It was a Tuesday. We went to this little hole in the wall. So I'm there with Brian Noble and some of the other Packer greats, and I'm the only young guy. And she brought me the menu. It was a piece of paper. All right. It was like a little piece of paper. It wasn't like a big menu, like a threefold. It was like a piece of paper. So I picked it up and said, oh, they got fish. I'll take some walleye. Never had it. Want to try it? Oh, no. She snatched it from me. We only turn the burners on Friday. Wait, y'all only eat fish on Friday in Wisconsin? It's down south. I live in Jacksonville, right by the water. We eat seafood all the time.
Yeah.
But I'm like, okay, it's different. But I was shocked. So it took some time to get used to it.
Love it, man. Thanks for sharing that. These are great stories. Another great story. And people do it all the time now, especially people watching the Packers. And you have some other teams that try and do that as well, but you invented the Lambeau Leap. And it's great to see different players try. Some people, you know, like if like a offensive lineman scores a touchdown, he tries to get up there and all that good stuff. You must be like just cracking up. But talk a little bit about like the invention of the Lambeau Leap, man.
Yeah, to me, Art, it was different because that day it was one of the coldest days of my life. And I remember asking Lee Rimmel, he was our kind of our marketing, sports information, media guy. I said, I went to the thermostat. And it's a minus next to a 16. Do they forfeit these games? It's like, no, you go play. The other team's from LA, from California. I said, yeah, but I'm talking about me. I'm from Jacksonville, Florida. It was 1993. I was 3 years in the league. I really thought they would just forfeit the game, but they didn't. I remember in the game, but before that, I remember Coach Holmgren saying, if a defensive guy gets an interception or a fumble, don't lateral it. Because you guys will fumble it and the other team will get it back. So just secure it and fall. So when I caused the fumble, Reggie White scoops it up. And I remember looking at Reggie saying, Reggie's going to lateral this ball. But I remember Coach saying not to do it. So I run over there. And if you watch it on YouTube, the field was frozen. You'll see Tony Bennett, the linebacker, not the singer. He just falls, Art. He falls. And then Bryce Pop, go back and look. He falls. God is good. I was the only guy that didn't fall. So it was destined for me to do this.
Yeah.
So I'm running over there and I get the lateral from Reggie. He's been tackled by Steve Wisniewski, I think. And he laterals me to the ball and I'm running down the sideline. And I just remember this. I'm thinking about, I said, this is cool. My first touchdown. I'm the deepest thing. I never get a touchdown. And I'm running up there. I remember I'm throwing the ball down, jumping up there. And when I jumped up there, I remember a guy having a beer in his hand. And I remember him wasting a beer and him saying, you owe me a beer. it was so funny. So I get down, I find the ball. And if you look at it further, you'll see Brett Favre come out with his cape on. He comes all the way out there. And Doug Evans said, oh, I said, what? He said, you smell like beer. I said, this guy spilled a beer on me. And it was just, I thought, I didn't know what to think. It was just a spontaneous thing. And I remember a couple years later, Robert Brooks made a song about jumping in the stands. And they actually named it Lambeau Leap when Robert did the song. Like Robert saw Lambeau Leap somewhere. And he's wrote the song "Jump in the Stand," and then it blew up.
Yeah,
it was everywhere, and it was just fun. Because the good thing about it, Art, the reason why that's the best celebration, is everything to do with the fans. Without the fans, remember last year in the pandemic, they couldn't do it. Fans weren't there, but now the fans are back. But now the only thing about it, people are gonna mock you. If other teams score in Lambeau Field, they're gonna fake like they're doing it. So players have been not doing it as much.
Yeah.
But it's still there. It's one of the best celebrations ever because it has something to do with the fans.
No doubt. Yeah, I think Green Bay, because anytime someone wins a Super Bowl, they're always like, we have the greatest fans in the world. Like, yeah, you're like, you know, I'm a Niners fan. I'm like, yeah, like there are certain teams that are just like kind of fair weather fans. And I'm like, yeah, but like Packers, you have like the Steelers, like you have certain fan bases that will stick through like thick and thin, right? I think Packers is one of them. Like the whole place shuts down on Sunday and it's like, we're all going to the game, right?
Right. Wins or losses affect our economy.
Yep.
When the Packers lose, nobody's outside, no money. But when they win, hey, man, make it rain. I mean, it's just so much. So they did a stock buy local just a couple weeks ago. I think they already raised like $100 million. What fan base would do that?
Crazy, yeah.
I mean, it's insane. So I'm very fortunate. That's why I stayed here my whole career.
I think, you know, a lot of people always like, there was that like the ring debate, right? Like, oh, is that player great, but they ever won a championship? And I think ultimately, like you said, when you were talking to your uncle who was a Bears fan, you're like, I didn't choose to go there. They drafted me. And I think it's also the environment, the coaches and your teammates, right? But you guys, obviously the Packers won Super Bowl 31, you guys won it. And I know people who've played there, like, you know, like yourself, you're not taking it for granted. So when you guys won the Super Bowl, what stands out? Of course, you know, like lifting the Lombardi Trophy, all that good stuff. Obviously bringing Lombardi home to, you know, Lambeau Field and all that stuff. But like, what do you take pride most in winning the Super Bowl?
The reason why that's a great question, because when my life started, African-American, in the inner city, poverty, special education, special needs department. I had braces on my legs like Forrest Gump. So I was Forrest Gump before Tom Hanks. And it was in a wheelchair at times. And to win a Super Bowl, it's not luck. I just believe God gave me the ability to ignore anything negative, to just concentrate on three letters and two things, God and the NFL, and I can make it. But for the team, I saw a sign said, 30 years of misery has ended with winning the Super Bowl. So I said, these fans, since 1919, have always owned their team. And that got emotional.
Yeah.
Because you saw everybody crying. Dogs were crying, cats were crying, grown men crying. The city was shut down. I mean, after 30 years, they won the first two Super Bowls, and it's been a drought. So I thought about that. And that was very, very emotional for that little smallest market to win a championship.
And the fact that, you know, you see teams in LA or other places move, right? But you guys are still there. And I mean, great, I think like Green Bay, Wisconsin is synonymous with the Packers, right? Like you guys are 1-1, you guys are combined. So I love that. And like you mentioned, the bullying thing, I think that the program you started up is great. And of course, we'll put up links on where people can check it out, but it's LeroyButlerInc.com for all the great things and everything that you're doing. But the idea of like making sure like you're using your past experience and being like, hey, I was there, I know what it feels like, don't do it. You'd think with everything going on, with as we quote unquote evolve, we have more information like those two women that we were talking about that can give you directions and all that other stuff, right?
Yep.
We have so much knowledge and information in our fingertips. But I guess, unfortunately, human nature, people will sometimes try and poke fun at other people, which I think stinks. And I think that people should have more acceptance and more love and more understanding. Like you said, you're listening, communication, talking, all that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So besides like all of that stuff, and then of course you got the different, like your radio show, you got the vodka, which is awesome. And I know, especially with everything from your childhood, you said earlier, why the Super Bowl victory meant so much to you. What is the motivation, especially with everything you've accomplished? You're like, I'm still doing more. Where is that motivation coming from, sir?
Well, it comes from my mom. My mom should have won a Nobel Peace Prize every year. She would have these quotes, Art. She said stuff like this: be a leader, not a follower. But if you're going to follow, choose the right leaders. I said, Mom, that's a damn Hallmark card. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So in the inner city, kids get in trouble. They try to hang with the wrong crowd to be famous.
Yeah.
Or follow somebody, do your own thing. My mom taught me, be different. Do, like doing your platform is important to me. Your platform to me is more, is bigger in my mind. That's my motivation. So she also wanted me to be the first possible Hall of Famer or Hall of Famer that's accessible in the community, that you can see him at Pick and Save.
Yep.
He'll go do this. Most people, when they're at Hall of Famer, you don't even see them.
Yeah.
I mean, but that's...
That's not you, man. You're out and about. You're, taking photos with everybody, and people appreciate that, man.
And that's why I got vaccinated. I got my booster shot.
Nice.
Because I love talking to people.
Yeah.
I'm a talker. And that's what my motivation... I like doing things that other players may not do.
Yep.
And it's all my mom driving me to be... She said, because if people understand where you're coming, like you, they won't bully you, because they say, you know, I may not like what he's doing. I like his color, his religion, but he's a nice guy. Yeah. He's always respectful, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I get kids don't want to talk about Bible study at 14. I get it. But my mom told me, you could be saved and do normal stuff.
Yeah.
That's the whole motivation of how my ideology is, to not always run to something that's famous or bigger, but make something famous or bigger.
Yep.
That's why it's important. And I appreciate you to keep being accommodating with me with my schedule. I appreciate that. And that's what that really motivates me. So if I ever get into the Hall of Fame, I want you to tell people, I know what he's gonna say. And it's being accessible as a Hall of Famer. And because I really believe that Jesus, when he was leading and people were following him, he didn't look back and say, only men follow me. Yeah. Only women, only like gay people, only LGBTQ. I want everybody.
Yep.
We all coming.
Yep.
Matter of fact, I'm not even going to turn around.
Yep.
I'm going to just keep leading. And we're all together. And that, if we can do that, which I know people are going to see this podcast and say, Leroy is delusional. But in my world, it's going to happen. So that's my whole motivation.
Man, I'm getting goosebumps because I feel you 100%. Like, I grew up Catholic and had the idea that Jesus cared for everyone, right? And there's this meme where Jesus is talking to, you know, and he's like, care for everyone. He's like, well, what about white people? Yes. What about black people? Yes. He's like, well, what about LGBT? Like, everyone. Like, the idea that people, like, usually, like, oh, Jesus wouldn't be down with this person. How?
No.
You actually read that stuff? Like, if you actually read the Bible and actually understand where Jesus was coming from.
Yes.
So, everything that you're saying, man, I want to be there with. I want to live in a world that, like, the world that you envision. Like, I want my kids and your kids to not even worry about the color of the skin. Be, you know, you can be prideful in your background and, like, everything, like, and the culture and all that stuff. But, like, don't judge, like... We have these cliches, but like I think they go like swept under the rug. Like, don't judge a book by its cover until you actually know, like walk their walk before you actually know what their struggle is, right? And you talking to other people, you talking about bullying and all this other stuff. Like, I've been there too. People are like, wow, Super Bowl champ, he got bullied? Yes. And look where look where he is now. So I love that. So thank you very much for that. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to make sure you got on the show, because I think you have a powerful message and I wanted to make sure you got on here. Now we're going to finish off the Fatherhood Quick Five, because I know you got some other stuff. You're a busy guy.
Okay.
Favorite family movie right now? What is it?
Oh, my goodness. Elf.
Nice.
And I'm Will Ferrell, of course.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
We watch Elf every night.
Nice.
Starting like November, right after the day after Thanksgiving.
Nice. Like, maybe for you and your wife right now, like maybe with the kids, because there's some like kind of weird language. There's Netflix, there's like Movies That Made Us. There's a behind the scenes Elf. I just watched it last night. It's funny you mentioned that. It's pretty cool. It gives it like a background on like how the movie got made. It's really cool.
Oh, so cool. I'm going to have to check that out.
favorite artist or favorite family song? Do you guys have one?
Well, I think we all collectively agree on a few people.
Okay.
I'm a big Adele fan.
Okay.
And so is my wife. And we all love Run DMC music.
Oh, nice.
I played it for my son, and he was like, I like that. So, you know, because they didn't say a lot of, like, curse words and bad stuff. It was just rhyming.
Yep.
So that, if I had to pick two people, if we were on an island, it would be Run DMC and Adele.
Nice. Love it. Very eclectic, but awesome. And speaking of you're on an island, describe the perfect family vacation. Where would it be?
My wife loves Disney World.
Okay.
Look, but I'm like, I'm from Florida. We went there all the time. But she's from Milwaukee. She loves it. When we go to the West Coast, we go to Disneyland.
Okay.
So so we go to Florida 3 times a year. And that's when my wife is the happiest. Because ever since she was 5 years old, her mom and dad would take her brother and sister. They would drive all the way down to Orlando. So, but if it's just me, but if, get rid of the kids, just me and my wife, we love Mexico.
Nice.
Cancun. And Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is one of my favorites ever. The people are nice. The food's nice. You can be yourself. They'll even teach you Spanish. I mean, the barbershops argue like my barbershop about sports. They got a big following there for the Packers. Because I didn't think a guy would know me in a cab in Puerto Rico. Hey, Leroy Butler. What's up, Leap? I say, man, you in Puerto Rico? What do you know? What? I'm the biggest. He had his Packers shirt on. And then he pulled over. Pulls out a 36 Butler Puma jersey.
Wow.
Blew my mind. I said, I got to sign it.
Right place at the right time. And you're talking about Puma, because that back then you had like Puma, maybe Reebok, but you also had like
Bill.
Yeah. You had Champ Sports, like Champion and all that stuff. Yeah. I have a bunch of jerseys from like all time, and like there's Champion right there, all that stuff. And you're like Wilson, all that good stuff, right?
Yeah, so, we're dating ourselves. The kids are going to be like,
favorite person, or not, like, who do you like enjoying to watch? I mean, it doesn't have to be offensive or defensive side, but right now in the league, who are you like, that person's, you know, playing, I got to watch?
Well, bias, but I'm a few people. I love A.J. Dillon.
Mm.
And I'm a big Jair Alexander fan.
Yeah.
Well, he hasn't been playing, but whenever he plays, I'm watching. And I'm a big A.J. Dillon guy, of course, and Aaron Jones. But if I put the Packers to the side, I'm a big Kyler Murray fan. And, I mean, it's just – I like Jamal Adams, the safety with Seattle.
Yep.
I like watching players because I play fantasy.
Oh, yeah. Same here.
So I got certain players I watch. Those are, like, my favorites. But I'm a huge Kyler Murray fan.
Nice. Kyler Murray, kind of, you know, same thing, would be like, oh, maybe you should stick to baseball. He's kind of short and all that.
Yeah.
Look what he's doing now, right? I know he's kind of injured, but like,
it's
like, okay. And again, being a Niners fan, but still much love to Lamar Jackson, because everyone's like, oh, he should be a wide receiver. Should he be? Like, I don't know.
One of the best teams right now at AFC. Yeah.
And lastly, top three words you hope all your kids would use to describe as a dad, what would they be? Top three words.
That they would describe me?
Yep.
Silly, for sure.
Nice.
Silly / funny. Thoughtful.
Nice.
And patient.
Great three words.
Very
right
there. Very patient.
People, make sure you follow Leroy on Twitter at Leap36 and go to his website, LeroyButlerInc.com. A lot of great programs. Pick up some vodka for game night, all that good stuff. I know you're a very busy guy. Thank you very much for taking the time. I wish you and your family a great holiday season and continued success, sir.
Thank you so much, y'all. I really appreciate it. And once I make the Hall of Fame, we're going to do a part two.
Nice. Sweet. You definitely got to get in, man.
Oh, yeah. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Art of Fatherhood podcast. Leave a review wherever you listen to podcasts and go to artoffatherhood.net.